the local church, you know. Some people were expecting pastor to tell you about spiritual growth. Let's just have spiritual growth. There's a reason for it. I want you to come under that series we have, we've been having concerning the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have a series, right? On the local church, right? We have, first of all, identifying the church. We have the local church, the new creation reality. Is that it? No. No, there's the local church tonight, but it came after a teaching on the local church too. Hallelujah. So before when I had the local church tonight. That was 2 years ago, right? The local church tonight. It wasn't last year. Just 2 years ago. Hallelujah. Last year what we have was the new creation and relationship. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't know, I know. I'm going to change it. Amen. So I decided to put this under the local church. Now let's have this. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and, come on your Bible, Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Remember that word Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not actually, doesn't have other collaboration, so it's not actually in the original. Hallelujah, it's satisfied. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel. Said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with. That word them is italicized. And confirming the word with signs following. So here, the Lord walking with. Is that the same thing with, Lord, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age? So that is God walking through them. Right? Luke 24 from verses 44. Okay, 45. And they opened he their understanding. Make sure you're there. They might comprehend the scripture. He says, the opening down of saying that they might comprehend the scripture. It says, for thought it beholds Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses. And when he says you are witnesses, it means they are going to be witnessed by speaking. Hallelujah. That's the word, to witness by speaking. Glory to God. John chapter 20, from verse 21, and he breathed on them, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That is 22, sorry. Verse 23, and he said, whosoever sins ye forgive, or remit, are remitted. And whosoever ye retain, is retained. Why? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, this will be Jesus' closing remark, summarized by the writers of the four synoptics, right? Jesus' closing remarks. Now, summarized by the writer of the synoptics. And how would they summarize it? Right? No, they were summarized in different ways, but we said it's the same, right? Right? Come on, are you here? If you were here yesterday, I showed us that you can actually say that, you know, I already told you that Mark focused on the entrance into discipleship, right? Matthew would say, make disciples. Mark would say, Mark, Luke, and John would say, we talk about the entrance. He said, if you look at it that way alone, you might not get it right? Because what they spoke about is the same thing. Hallelujah. And I showed also Mark, that what Mark was talking about also incorporated what will happen in discipleship. Right? He said, this sign shall follow them. Where they are saved. This sign shall follow the believing ones. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So, the summary of what he wrote was concerning salvation, right? A man being saved and what will happen in salvation, which Paul in 1 Timothy 2:4 would say, God's desire is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is very interesting. Hallelujah. So that will be the summary of Jesus' instruction. In fact, in Acts 1:8, Luke will put it this way. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Say, you shall be witness. That is the same word. To be witness by speaking of me in Jerusalem,
in Judea and Samaria to the uppermost part of the earth. Glory to God. So, Luke will make us see that Jesus was not just talking abstractly. He says in Luke 26 into 27, he says, ought not the Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory. Right? Hallelujah. So we say Jesus read from the scripture. He says, oh, first love how to believe in all the prophets. The word prophet there is the word for Genesis to Malachi, right? So verse 27, beginning as Moses and all the prophets. That means Luke makes us see Jesus was reading from Moses and all the prophets, which is the 39 books, right? What we call the Old Testament books. Something again in verse 44 you need to see clearly. He says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses. So that means what Jesus is saying is that what he taught them while he was with them in the earthly work and in the 40 days are from the same source, right? So Jesus had a source material. Amen? Jesus was reading from the 39 books. In fact, let me let you know this. Jesus had a Bible. He was reading from the scripture. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Jesus was reading from the scripture. For him to be the son of God, or for him to be the prophet of God, or a man of God, or a child of God, or one who speaks for God, hallelujah, he would have to read from the 39 books. So this is to make you see that even God himself, Jesus is God, became a man, John 1:1 to 14. God himself subjected himself to the written word of men, which are inspired by the Holy Ghost. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following God himself. Permit me to use this word to help with anybody who tells you the revelation I'm giving you is from an angel. God appeared to me, an angel appeared to me. Remember I warned you yesterday, don't you know I teach you? I said, when anybody begins to talk to you and is giving you, I said, he learned a doctrine from angel, just walking. Because you know the next thing that will come out will be nonsense. Because the angels don't know doctrine. Hallelujah. I told us that believers are the university of angels. They learn from us. Glory to God. Hope you're following that. So they don't know scripture. So imagine somebody telling you, as I was sleeping, I saw a vision, an angel appeared to me, I was teaching me the scripture. Just say, thank you, sir. Don't continue. Because even Jesus, who is the Word, you know, he is the Word, became flesh. He subjected himself to the scripture. Hallelujah. In fact, during the temptation, when Satan came to him, Jesus didn't quote from his head. You know, he would have said, don't you know I'm a man, I'm a child of God, don't you know I'm God, became flesh? Come on, get out, right? But Jesus subjected himself to Deuteronomy. Everything he said was from Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. So Jesus, who is God, subjected himself to scriptures. Okay, you hear me? So that means I must subject myself all the time to the written word. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Be careful of people who call the scriptures what I'm giving you is deep rhema. You know when this is deep revelation. Even Paul supposed to know you. Just know whatever thing he's giving you. Eh? That is not from the scripture. It's nonsense. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, it's nonsense. You know, during WIMA, these are some of the things you have as teacher. Anyway, these are things you have as teacher. I don't know what WIMA is. WIMA is World Empowerment Ministerial Academy. Hallelujah. So these are things you have around you. Glory to God. Amen. So you subject yourself to scripture. In fact, subject yourself to the boundaries of scripture. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus taught from 39 books. So that means his conclusions were conclusions of the 39 books. We have to be fast because there is something we're going to look at today before we get into the topic. There's something we're going to look at. It's going to be long. I know it's going to be long. So you're going to be ready. Hallelujah. So Jesus' conclusion will be the conclusion of scriptures. Okay, follow it. His conclusion will be the conclusion of scriptures. So that means, if it is the conclusion of scriptures, it then means that his instructions will be instructions of scriptures. So when he said go make disciples, it could be an instruction of scriptures. And Jesus gave that instruction to his men. Do you see that? I hope you're following him. Some things we're going to look at during Pneumaticus sometime in the year. Hallelujah. Jesus will have his men. He didn't give it to everybody. Remember I showed us that, right? Yesterday I told us something along that line. That's how Jesus wants his story to be told. Jesus being God didn't write any scripture. And he did it for a reason, because God will always use men. I showed us that yesterday. God will always use men. So because God will use men, Jesus became a man and believer. He didn't write about his account or his earthly work. No. He gave it to the hands of men. Now, not every man, but men, his men. Okay, I'm following you. His disciples. But what does it mean that aside the fact that the disciples knew or disciples had the stories of Jesus, were there other people that had that story and told the story anyhow? They were. They were. They told it anyhow. They were telling tales by moonlight. There was a guy. He's in Galilee. You know the way people talk about Ororo? No, not Messi. If we are talking about Messi, at the mercy of Messi. Hallelujah. But we're talking about still. Now, you know, you can, people talk the story anyhow. Or people are laughing. He's leaving my ear. you are talking the story distorted. Glory to God. We are laughing because he's leaving my ear. I'm happy he's leaving my ear for Chelsea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know? You don't get it, forget about it. Amen. Glory to God. So, you can tell the story anyhow. Anybody can tell the story anyhow. But just happened to Jesus. The Bible says he told them when he did a miracle, he would tell them, tell no one. It's for a reason. He said the more he told them to tell no one, they spread it across. Or they say, that guy is a miracle worker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, ha ha, lion of the tribe of Judah. You understand? They were just telling the story anyhow. But it's the way Jesus needed his story to be told. Hallelujah. How? Jesus' story. I told us something yesterday that I would expand in the course of the year. That the way the synoptic writer wrote the four gospels, they didn't write it as an eyewitness account. No. Though an eyewitness account, but they wrote it as revelation. That is, they wrote the life of Jesus as the explanation of Genesis to Malachi. That's what you find. Hallelujah. In fact, Matthew will use the word often that it might be fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Okay, follow me. That means Jesus' life is explanation of Genesis to Malachi. Because he is the word became flesh. So the word Genesis to Malachi became flesh. Hallelujah. So you find it in his earthly work. And yet in his earthly work, he will still read from Genesis to Malachi. How about that? Amen. So God will always give it to man. God uses men. Hallelujah. That is when I read scripture together, this is what I will see. Genesis 1, 2 to 6. As God said, let us make man in our image. Right? Let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, Genesis 1, 27. Over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, and over every, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his image, in the image of God created him, and female created he them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Did you see that? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. It is the word replenish means to refill. Hallelujah. To refill the earth. Hallelujah. Will this be Genesis? Will this be Matthew 28:18? Make disciples? Refill. How are you refilling the earth? With God's kind. God in man. Hallelujah. Hope you're following this. God in man. Hope you're with me. Hallelujah. Refill the earth. That will be Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens in the earth. Hallelujah. God will always use men. God created the heavens in the earth. And how would that happen? God made man in his image. The man in his image has the task to refill the earth. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. When I get to Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, when Moses will say, they had to be filled with his glory. They had to be filled with his glory. How will that happen? Through his name. Hallelujah. That is why God will have to use a Moses. Hope you're following me. God will use a Moses to speak to the children of Israel. Hope you're following this. Hallelujah. Remember, he will write the book of Genesis to an Exodus audience. Why? Because God wants them to know him. Amen? So God will use man to make himself known to men. Hallelujah. He will call Abraham in Genesis chapter 20 verse 17 a prophet. Prophet. A prophet. A Nabi. A Nabi is a spokesman. A man that speaks on behalf. So Abraham is God's prophet. Means Abraham will speak on behalf of God. So God will use man. God wants to reach out to the people in Nineveh. Who did he use? He used a Jonah. Hope you have already read that. God will use man. Glory to God. God will always use man. Man is God's masterpiece. Man is God's masterpiece. So God uses man. Hallelujah. Man is God's masterpiece. How about that? Say, I'm God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. So that means God wants us, man to know him. And how will a man know him? First, he has to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to be saved. Glory to God. And we need Jesus to read from the 39 books. That means, when Jesus will read from 39, let's see how he will read for me. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24, 27. 24:27. He says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Now that word expounded is how Jesus read. Hallelujah. That word expounded is the word diamenio. Diamenio means how you explain. Like you are explaining. Now when he uses the word dia, it means to cut through. Like dia means to cut through. Now hemenio is used from, or the word hemis is used for a chief speaker, an interpreter, to interpret through. Hallelujah. So that means it also involves the interpretation of language. Hope you're following me. Of language. So that means Jesus will have to interpret language. Jesus will have to interpret language. Why would he have to? Now, here's the reason why Jesus will have to. Because a word cannot mean today what it never meant when he was written. I love that word from Pastor Shegon on Instagram, my pastor. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. A word cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. So that means I must have to find out how it was written then. That means I will have to subject myself. That is, I'm explaining what diamond means. That means I have to subject myself to what they heard. Hallelujah. So therefore, we say you have to sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard. Hallelujah. Understand what was their mode of communication and how they communicated. Hope you're following what I'm telling you. Their mode of communication and how they communicated. How was communication like in their world? How do they write? Because that will form how they will write. Hallelujah. What was happening in their sociocultural world? In their very immediate world. We're going to say that as we get to have our teaching. We're having a teaching meeting on the 9th. Today, what? Okay. On the 11th and 12th, we're having a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're going to see some of these things here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're going to see some of it. Amen. Above Jesus. We don't have holy days. We have holy days. Hallelujah. So, it's holy days for us. Hallelujah. Time to learn the word. Yeah. Looking at answering today's questions from Scripture. There are some questions we need to answer from Scripture today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that means I have to subject myself to Scriptures. What did they hear? It's just like the young guy that said he knew who Paul's father was because Paul said, my old man. That is reading Scriptures today. That is using yesterday or language of Scripture and interpreting it in my words today. I will miss it. Because he said the father of Jesus, Paul, was the guy that hung, that was on the tree with Jesus. That would be heresy. Okay, for the heresy, because Paul said, my old man. Old man there will refer to what? His nature. Right? Old man, who you used to be. Old things have passed away. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. So that means I have to look at it. How did they use the word old man in their day? Okay, following that. So Jesus will do the same thing. Hallelujah. Jesus will subject his audience to the seat of the first audience when they heard. Because Jesus was reading, listen, in Jesus' world, what was predominant was the Greek. What they have was a Greek Bible. It's called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Hallelujah. It's called the Septuagint. So that was what they had as Bible. The same way today we have as Bible what we call the English translation of the original Bible. Right? We have the King James. We have the NIV. We have the KJV or NKJV. We have the Revised Standard Version. The Living Bible Amplified. You know? That in their world they had just the Septuagint. And then they still have the original Hebrew manuscript, right? So what would Jesus use? Jesus will use the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and he will also use the original Hebrew. Hallelujah! Because at the point of translating, words sometimes can be muddled down. Hallelujah! The most times you have to go back to find the original meaning. We're going to look at one today. Hallelujah! So you have to use words the way it is used in scriptures. You have to use words the way it is used in scriptures. For example, we looked at the word redeemed, right? I'm going to show you the word redeemed. We're going to look at that next week. Hallelujah. Another word you can see used is the word serpent. Serpent. Now that word didn't change meaning in scriptures, right? Now serpent. Now, serpent is an animal, right? Well, let's see how Moses will use serpent. Because Jesus will use scripture words. Listen, your interpretation of words from scriptures must be interpreted Bible way. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So many a time, words like our animals were not used, or animals were used to connote the different kinds of men. Hallelujah. For example, look at Luke 10. Quickly. Luke 10. Are you there? Verses 19. Now, if you miss the conversation, you would think Jesus was talking about physical snakes and scorpions. Okay, well, ladies, you miss it. Because what was the conversation? They came back rejoicing that what? Demons were subject to them in his name. Right? Was that what they were happy for? So that means they went out for evangelism. Right? What we call evangelism. And men believed and they healed all manner of sicknesses, right? So they were happy to see miracles. Now they came to Jesus. Now on whom were those miracles done? Men or animals? Men or animals? Men. That is the conversation. Right? Now let's see what Jesus will now reply them in verses 19. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he called serpents and scorpions the works of the enemy. Okay, following that. Amen. So, well, listen to this. He called serpents and scorpions the works of the enemy. Right? Hallelujah. Over all the power or the works of the enemy. So he called them. So where would he find the works of the enemy or the power of the enemy? In men. Hallelujah. So he was referring to men as serpents. And he's not saying when you get to see serpents and scorpions, you tread upon them. Go and mind serpents. Go and mind scorpions. If they see you first, they will sting you. Right? It doesn't mean when you're going to be there, you're looking for scorpions. We did not see scorpions. So we can tread upon them. No, you will not be normal. Hallelujah. When you see serpents and scorpions, so you have to subject yourself again to their language. Animals were used to describe the different kinds of men. Okay, following that. Amen. So the serpent and scorpion will be the workings of the devil through men. Okay, following this. Now, where do you think Jesus was reading from? Where do you think he's reading from? He's reading Genesis chapter 3. Let's get back to Genesis 3. Come on, Genesis 3. Are you there? Glory to God. Let's see this. So when you use the word threat, that is the word used for dominion. So when it says you can tread upon, so is it the same as you would exercise dominion over serpent and scorpion? Right? Right? Is that exercise dominion? That is it. So let's get back to Genesis 3. It says verses 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall eat of every tree of the garden. So what this paints in the minds of several people, like the book of Job that we spoke about yesterday. You know, when you get to Job, you think God was having a conversation with the sons of God. And then, and then Satan was now scrolling like an area boy. And God said, hey, your daddy, come. So Satan came. Where have you been? Like God was asking, where have you been? Hey, I've been going through and through the earth. God now asked him. You know, that is what paints in some people's head. God now asked him, have you eaten? You don't chow. I said, no, I'm not eating. So, okay. In all your water, did you see my friend Job? My guy Job? Don't you see that the guy? That is what it seems, or people paint for me, but that is not it. If I have heard the renowned minister say, when the sons of God are gathered, Satan is there. Make it look as if the Satan in scripture is, I mean, the Satan will have none. Is even going to say Satan in scripture? The Satan in scripture will know, cannot be in every place at the same time. Right? We know that one for sure. When Jesus was taken to Egypt, Satan was in Israel. Before he got to Egypt, before he entered God to Egypt, Jesus has come back to Israel. Very simple. So he couldn't catch him. Satan is not omnipresent now. So believe God. He didn't even know that Jesus was God. He did not know. You think he did not know. On the head of me, Satan didn't know. Amen. In fact, Jesus was about 2 years plus when Herod knew. That was when Satan knew Jesus was born. He said, sir, do you know what you are saying? This scripture now, Satan did not know. He didn't even know. Amen. Amen. He didn't even know. He didn't even know God's plan. How about Jesus? No, don't glorify. Some people make Satan look as if they are so powerful. I love what Dr. Price said. He said, if Satan was that powerful, he would have broken everybody's fingers. Don't make him look powerful. He's not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, he's not. Glory to God. The God said, okay, you know what? You say, I'm going to have the edge. Okay, go and touch everything that Job has. But don't touch his life. As if God was giving him. No. I showed us something that said, we're going to look at the book of Job. That should be after. That should be next year. Now, you now discover that Job, what you are reading in Job was, the record of Job was giving you behind the scene. Something has happened. It says, it's making you see that, no, there's an element of, there's a supernatural being involved. Because what happened to Job's children was that they were kidnapped. I showed up yesterday. They were kidnapped. In fact, kidnapping is okay. Bandits took them. And when they were taking it, they killed all the servants. Only one ran away. Amen? What is that conversation? What did you hear? What did you hear from the conversation? Everything is in thy power. So who would you find in the power of the devil? Men. That's what he's showing you. He's showing you that what Satan has in his power is men he influenced. So he used men to kidnap men. Hallelujah. You have to call them the God of this world. So when Paul is writing the God of this world, you have to see this in the background. Right? Job. You see Genesis. Hallelujah. They are in the background. That's why it's called the God of this world. So when he says, now, the same picture Job paints is what Genesis paints in the mind of people, that a snake just came down.
One day three.
Done. Eve, how are you? Fine. Eve, I hear say God spoke another chapter for three.
No! That is because you are reading it in your today's language. Understand how they wrote in their word. They wrote in figures.
Hallelujah.
There's an imagery. The same thing too. Remember I told you that the book of Job by some, there is like a school of thought that believes that the book of Job was written as far back as when the book of Genesis was written.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There's a school of thought that said that. So it carries the same kind of writing, imagery. So the writer of Job to paint that imagery of something behind the scenes.
Glory to God.
Behind the scenes. So that is what is the same imagery. So when you now get to Genesis and you are seeing an imagery and you are making it look literal in your day to day, you are missing it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, Jesus has called serpent the works of the enemy through men. That means Genesis 3, serpent there will be the work of the enemy through men. Simple. Because animals were used to describe the different kinds of men. For example, look at the same writer in Genesis 49. Genesis 49. So you have to see how they will write. Or you're looking for a star. When were angels created? I've told you that angels didn't exist before time. They existed in time. Angels were created in Genesis 1. Hallelujah. But sir, you don't see angels there. It's because you are not seeing well. There's an image that was painted there. Right? Angels are called the stars of heaven. See, Genesis is there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Yeah, God is the stars of heaven. Called the morning star, the sons of God.
Glory to God.
So you will find them created in time. They were created for man. Look at Genesis 49. Are you there? Now look at some of verse 8. It says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Right? Thy hand shall be like the neck of thy, shall be in the neck of thy enemy. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou hast gone up. He stooped down and couched as a lion. He's describing his son as like a lion. Did you see that? Right? Hallelujah. Go further again. Look at verses 17. 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse he. So that the rider fall backward. So he calls Dan a serpent and he gives the description of a serpent. He bites for men to fall. This is that subtle. He's subtle and he brings men down. You see that? So Dan, a person, is described as a serpent. So serpent, so that means serpent is used, or animals are used to describe men.
Hallelujah. Okay, for Elohim.
Okay. Look at Naphtali in verse 21. It says, Naphtali is a hand let loose. He giveth godly word. This is that? Amen. This is that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Look at 27. Benjamin. Benji. Benji shall be, shall, Benji, shall say Benji. Benjamin shall raven as a, wolf. A human being. Okay, following me. That was how they described men with animals.
Glory to God.
It's just like today, you see somebody say, they're a goat. You know, when they say they're a goat, it doesn't mean the person is doing, nah. Right? And is that word goat to describe either his stubbornness or his, right? Or just like a pig. The time you say the person is dirty, right? So you use the word pig to qualify his action. Right? So animals are used to describe men.
Okay, following me.
So that means Genesis 3 is God or Moses describing Eve's conversation.
Okay, following me.
Eve's conversation. Glory to God.
Amen. That means whatever is this that was unbelief was initiated 90 days, that meaning there is someone behind the scene, right? A supernatural force, right? Come on. That has influenced her decision for unbelief. How did you say? Hallelujah. In fact, Paul will put it this way. Paul will call what happened in Genesis 3, that scenario painted, Paul will call it false teachers. That means false teachers can be traced back to Genesis. Hope you are following me. Eh? False prophets. Look at it, 2 Corinthians. Hope you are learning something. Hope you are learning something. 2 Corinthians 11. Okay, look at verses 2. He said, "For I am jealous over." Now Paul is warning against false prophets. Now he says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to another. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest my enemies, as the serpent beguiled him." Is that Genesis 3? Come on. Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So that means what happened to Eve was a corruption away from the simplicity that is found in the gospel. Amen? That's a corruption away. Amen. That is, she was drawn away by the simplicity that is found in the promise. Now, what would that be? Look at verse 4. "If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or receive another spirit which we have not received, or any gospel which ye have not accepted, ye may well bear with him." Did you see that? That means he's talking about false teachers. So that means in Genesis 3, at the background will be false prophets. Okay, following me? Will be another gospel. That means we can trace false teachings or false prophets, false teachers to Genesis 3. Amen? So when the writers of the epistles write false prophets, they take your mind back to Genesis 3. Okay, following me? Because that would be the origin. Okay, following me? Amen? The fact. Moses will not want to describe Genesis 3 in Deuteronomy. He will say in Deuteronomy 13. Look at it. Hope you are following me. You know, Deuteronomy is teaching notes. Deuteronomy 13. Look at it. It says, "If there arise amongst you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign on the water come to pass, therefore he speak unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou art not known, and let us stab them, thou shalt not hearken to his word of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth thee, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." That means you will know a prophet by what he says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have Genesis 3, that would be Genesis 3. Hope you are following me. Amen. You see why it's good to read scriptures together? Hallelujah. You have to read everything together. So Jesus will teach. When Jesus uses a word, you will find that usage of the word. Jesus will use it the same way it was used in the 39 books. Hallelujah. The same thing too you will find with the epistles or with the apostles. When they use a word, it will be used the same way it used Genesis to Malachi. So most times we'll have to go back again to look at it. Hallelujah. We look at the word with, okay, I don't want to go to Redeemer. Yeah, let's consider another scripture. Let's look at another word. We looked at it a bit before during Revelation of God, but we're going to look at it again. Romans chapter 8. Paul uses a word there. Now that I feel we have to look at it again. Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 39. By me 29. Romans 8, 29. Are you there? It says, okay, let me start from verse 28. It says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now he said, all things are the same, work together for good. You don't even know what the all things there is. What? The all things there is 29. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The all things is 29. He said, for whom the Lord did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Now, the issue of predestination. Hallelujah. Now, everybody look up. If you are sleeping, sleep no more. So now remove your wig. You are not with me. You are not being with me. Amen. The way to go. Now everybody look up. I want to discuss a very crucial one today, and I'll take it like that onto looking at different words. Another thing I would love to show you will be election. Not Trinity issue. Election is scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want to tell you speak concerning predestination, but it will take us to some things we'll look at in the course of the coming years. But this will be like there are several people who feel God is, they call the supremacy of God. God takes a decision nobody can change. Right? God has planned your life from the beginning. This is how you end up. No matter what you do, that's how you end up. You know people, there are people that talk like that. If I'm your pastor, I've said this one. I've said it, but it's stupid. But I don't think, I didn't teach it in church. I spoke about it to some brethren because I had a teacher. I said, see, nobody has been predestined to hell. It's not true. Amen? I hope you're following you.
It's not true.
It's because we read predestination from another source that is not from the scripture. Now, if the word predestination, that word predestination, it comes from non-biblical sources. That misconception of the word predestination comes from non-biblical sources. Like dictionaries. You know, when people use dictionaries to read scriptures. When people use dictionaries to read scriptures, it's awful. Hallelujah. See, what's in scripture? Make sure you learn to use scripture. Scripture, what's in scripture derives their meaning from scripture. Hope you're following me. I read my Bible with my dictionary. You know, something that is not bad, but you can always misread it. Hallelujah. Why would I say you can always misread it? You can misread it in such a way that remember the words are not written today. The dictionary you are reading a dictionary for today. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So always be careful about that. So, and it is as a result of lack of diligent study. How many people make such mistakes? For example, the Oxford Dictionary would define predestination as the theory or belief that everything that happened has been predetermined or pre-planned or planned in advance by God or faith, and the outcome no one can change it. God has said this is how it's going to be. Bam! If you do second, you see second. So most times that now comes to the mind of people that God knew. God has planned for Adam and Eve to fall. How can you be? How can you say something like that? Have you not heard something like that? See, God planned Adam and Eve to fall. God planned Nebuchadnezzar to fall. No. See, his destiny is to die. Why can you say something like that? Say, God's destiny for Herod is for the flood to cover him. How can you say, for Pharaoh? How can you say so? See, because that's why he made his heart harden. No one dealt with that. God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart. God did. Pharaoh hardened his heart because the word hardness was used in collaboration to the scripture preached. So that means Moses, as a minister of God, as a prophet, ministered the gospel. To who? To Pharaoh. And he said, the way you will see that the example of this is how you let the children of Israel go. That would be the deliverance. So Moses too will do what other writers of scriptures will do. In fact, because they are writing for Moses, the Pharaoh allowing the children of Israel go will be how God will deliver his people. So when you hear God delivers his people, or you hear salvation, salvation will take you back to Exodus. They were writing for Moses. So that's how Moses will preach to Pharaoh too. He will teach Pharaoh, he will talk to Pharaoh about the oracles of God and say, the example of it, the sign of it is, allow the children of Israel to go. That will be deliverance. That will be the Exodus, the going out of darkness into light. Hope you're following that. But what did Pharaoh do? He had in his heart, I didn't say, he said no to the gospel preach. It's very simple. Amen? Try his Bible. God did have in his heart. He had in his doubt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can get our teaching on revelation of God is there. Series 1 is there. Hallelujah. I know I did justice to that. And some other teachings too. Understanding the gospel series 3 is there too. Hallelujah. So, look at it. The word predestination did not exist in any known Christian material. The word predestination never existed in their culture. It never existed in their world. It was not in their tradition. Watch it. It was not in their tradition. It was not in their culture. It was not in their language. Predestination. Hallelujah. In fact, it was not in any of their material. They didn't even know. If you ask Paul, Paul, what is predestination? He said, I don't know it. Because it didn't exist in their world. But Paul, you want predestination. Oh, God, be calming down. Hallelujah. Paul said, I didn't write predestination. Where did you see it from? It's in your world now. You know, I said something jokingly yesterday. I said, Paul. He said, who's Paul? Yeah, I don't name now. My guy, your name is Paul. He said, no. My name is not Paul. Because the word Paul, you know, some people say, Saul or Sahul, Saul is his name, then Paul is his Christian name. Ah, you need deliverance. One is Jewish, the other one is the Greek translation of the Jewish name. Amen. Amen. So Paul is a translation. His name did not change. Amen. Of Jesus. Amen. So just translation. And I said it jokingly, right? Abraham! He said, who is that? I say, our father Abraham. That's the end. Amen. That's true. About, you know, because they are translations, right? Abraham was not Jewish. Yet Moses had to translate a Jewish. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve, the same. Adam. Not Adam, Adam. Okay, let's continue. Because I think we'll have a long way to go. Hallelujah. So, Paul, don't use, he does not know. Now that was predestination. Came in 300 years after the church. Or after the church history. After all the apostles were dead. When that word predestination came in. So it was not there when they wrote scriptures. It was not there when the canons of scriptures were written. So that means we have to go back and reread to see what did Paul, what was Paul? Right? What does Paul call predestined? Whom he foreknew also predestined. We have to look at it again. Hallelujah. And to know the word predestined, you cannot rely on English dictionary to understand it. If not, it will lead you to error. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Because a word cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. Now, I've just told you that Paul would say he did not write anything predestined. A predetermined end. Right? So that means, let's reread what was written, what Paul really wrote. Let's go, let's get back to Romans 8. You guys are looking at me. We've done this study before now, right? I can't remember. Romans 8, we've done it before.
Romans 8, let's go back there again. Romans 8, 29. We've done before, but it's like 3 years now. 3 years now. Romans 8, 29. He says, from whom? For whom he foreknew. For no. He's also predestined, right? Let's start with the word for no. How about word for no? He says, hey, go for no. Mister, the word for no is the word progenosco. Progenosco, rather. Progenosco. A compound of the word pro and genosco. Pro means before, genosco means to know. So that means the word for know means to know beforehand. To know beforehand. So the question will now be, is it to know to predetermine end? Let's see that. It is used in Romans 11 verse 2. We are going to open a lot of scriptures. Romans 11 2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Did you see that? God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. What the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh his assertion to God against Israel, saying, now, Lord, you killed your prophet down to, that will be 1 Kings 19, right? So God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Mark that, is this for God? In 1 Peter, something you need to see, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Peter uses, or another word was used that could actually mislead people by the King James. Let's quickly to 1 Peter. First Peter, right? Okay, chapter 1, verse 20. Look at what it says. It says, 1:20. Are you there? It says, who verily, let's start from verse 13, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last days, thy last times for me. Now use the word foreordained. That is actually not what it means. Because when you use the word foreordained, means God already known it to the end. No. That word there is the word progenos, is the word progenosco. Progenosco, which means what should have been there should be foreknown. You understand me? Who verily was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Foreknown. So that means the word for no progenosco means a pre-plan. A pre-plan. Is it for man? Is this for man? Now what progenosco is used for man? In 2 Peter 3:17, is it? It says, yet therefore, beloved, it says, see ye know these things before. Did you see that? That is the word, know things before. Beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Does it mean that they knew it before they were born? No. Right? Or just something you know earlier on. Right? So to pre-know. Use again in Acts 26 for Paul. Paul's defense to Agrippa. Acts 26. Verse 5. It says, oh sorry, 26, what is 26 I call? Verse 5, he said, which, I mean, verse 4, he said, my manner of life for my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning.
So they knew him from the beginning as one who is serious about the law, right? The beginning there will be from before he was born. No, look at verse 4, from his youth. Did you see that? So that would be the beginning, right? Now did they, now that spirit, no. Was it to know his end? No. Because he knows his end. Now he's saved. Now he's born again. Now he's doing the work of God. Hallelujah. So it's a pre-plan to know beforehand something, right? But not to know to the end. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Another word used by the King James is the word foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. That one is from the word progenosis. P-R-O-G-N-O-S-I-S. Progenosis. Remember we looked at the word progenosco. Another word is progenosis. It means the same thing. To know beforehand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the difference there is progenosis deals more with facts. Right? Deals more with facts. But it's the same thing. Progenosis, progenosco. They are the same thing. Pre-planning, right? But it deals more with facts. For example, look at 1 Peter 1 2. 1 Peter 1 2. Are you there? It says, some of us are Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkle of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Say, elect according to the foreknowledge, read that, of God the Father. Now, it deals with fact. What was the fact? The sanctification. Did you see that? We're going to get to this. Look at Acts 2.23. Let's begin to deal with it critically. Acts 2.23. Are you there? It says, him, talking about Jesus, verse 22, yea, men of Israel, yea, this was Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves. Him being delivered by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Did you see that? Now let's deal with that. That's what. He said, Jesus is talking about Jesus. He said, being delivered by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now he uses the word predetermined or predetermined. Right? Predetermined or predeterminate. Anyway, both of them go. Now that is the word in the Hebrew, in the Greek, horizo. Are you following me? Horizo. A word you find used for Jesus by Paul in Romans 1:4. Declared the Son of God. That word horizo is used for how you mark a boundary. How you demarcate a boundary. Horizo. That means, now another word there is the word counsel. Use the word predetermined counsel. The word counsel is from the Greek word boule. B-O-U-L-E. Boule. It means it's used for a deliberate wisdom. Or purpose. A deliberate wisdom or purpose. Where you find that word used is in Luke 7:30, Luke 23:51, Acts 4:28, Acts 5:38, Acts 13:36, Acts 20:27, Acts 27:2, 27:42, 1 Corinthians 4:5. I'll take it again. Luke 7:40, Acts 4:28, Acts 5:38, Acts 13:36, Acts 20:27, Acts 27:2, Acts 27:42, 1 Corinthians 4:5. So what does Peter say? He used the word predetermined to set apart, to mark, and the word counsel. That means Peter's explanation was that God marked out a plan. That is what it means. God marked out a plan. Right? He said being delivered by the predetermined counsel of God. So you can say being delivered by God's marked out plan. Did you see that? And what does he call the marked out plan? He called it an foreknowledge. So that means that marked out plan is the foreknowledge. Remember that word foreknowledge is in the word foreknow, right? Progenosis, progenosco, right? Hallelujah. So the word foreknowledge is the word to mark out the plan. That's what it says. Hallelujah. Now the word to be delivered there, we are looking at Acts 2, the word to be delivered is the word that implies to surrender, to give out. To give out. Hope you are following me. Make sure you are looking at Acts 2. Now you are reading as you are looking at it, you are reading it. So let's look at the verse 3. And him being given out, is that it? By God's marked out plan, right? Which is his foreknowledge, right? Right? Aha. He said, ye have taken. And that word to for ye have taken is the word lambano. To take advantage of what has been given. So, God gave, who took advantage of? Men did. You see that? Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means, it implies God's foreknowledge. Now, it says, you ye are taken by the wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Did you see that? So what did God do? God gave. Men lambanied and killed. God did, part of God's plan was God did that. God did influence man to kill him. In fact, when John was to put it, John would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Did you see that? Now that word to give is how God gave his son to the wicked hands of men. So you are following me. So what did man do? Man lambanoed and killed. Hope you are following that. Amen. So God's foreknowledge was him giving. Right? Hallelujah. God's foreknowledge was him giving. God did not make man kill Jesus. Rather, his foreknowledge is seeing how we deliver Jesus into the wicked hands of men. And men decided to kill him. Look at Romans 5, verse 8. Hope you are following what I'm teaching. Romans 5, 8. For God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see that? Hallelujah. So, we can say, God's foreknowledge was not to influence man's decision. Rather, his foreknowledge is seen in his nature that he gave. His motive that he gave. That is to say, God's motive ahead of time is love in demonstration. For God so loved the world, he gave. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love. How? While we're yet sinners, God gave his son and he killed him. Did you see that? So God's predeterminate counsel was not for Jesus to be killed. Was not to influence man's decision, but to give Jesus to the wicked hands of men. So what did they do with him? He left first to them. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. Very important. So, I have this in my notes. God giving Jesus into the hands of men is the love of God in demonstration. He didn't influence man's action of killing him. Because man has a will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man had a will. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that will now move us to the next word, predestinate. Whom he did foreknow. Now we have seen the foreknow, right? Foreknow is a pre-plan, right? Right? What is the foreknow? A pre-plan. What God has planned, right? We're going to get to see all those pre-plan and everything at the end. Glory to God. Amen. So, that word predestinate that you saw there, remember I told you that Paul didn't use the word predestinate. Right? That word predestinate came from a Latin word. Because when we were compiling scriptures together in church history, there was a time that the Romans had that dominance that scriptures, that they were trying to translate words into Latin. Right? But some of the words that they picked from the Latin culture was the word predestinate. Right? So it's from a Latin, the word predestinate didn't come from a Greek word or a Hebrew word. It's from the Latin word predestinio. To determine an end. That's what it means. To determine an end. But like as I said earlier on, the word was not known even in their cultural tradition. Therefore, Paul wouldn't have used predestinio or predestinate in his writing. So therefore, let's investigate what Paul actually wrote. Rather, the word predestinate was translated or the word being translated as predestinate had its original Greek word prorizo. Prorizo. Or prorizen. P-R-O-R-I-Z-O. Or the word pro-R-I-Z. I mean P-R-O-R-I-Z-E-I-N. Pro-I-Z-E-N. That word implies to foreordain or to appoint before. To foreordain or to appoint before. It's from the compound word of pro before and the word horizo to mark out, to appoint, to decree. I mean to declare. Okay, follow this. So it's to for declare, to for appoint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word predestined means a pre-plan, not to determine an end, to foreordain. When you foreordain something, you don't, you are just ordaining that thing, right? A pre-plan, but you are not predetermining the end. That's what it means. I hope you're following me. So God has predetermined everybody's end. He knows that you die by car accident. How can he be talking nonsense? So God knows that he would die by a crash. He does his time. Nonsense. Amen. I don't expect anybody that I'm speaking to say that nonsense. I mean, I heard people, I heard somebody one time say, nobody knows how he or she is going to die. Only God knows how everybody is going to die. Must you just stop talking nonsense? So the one that died in COVID, God knew that they would die in COVID. I see it was God that invented COVID. COVID is man-made. Sickness is a man-made. God didn't invent any sickness. So God knows that. You will die by COVID. How can you just keep your mouth shut? You don't have anything to say. Just be looking. Hallelujah. I've heard some people say nonsense. Let's continue. Now that word pro-orizo is a verb. Now it has a noun in the Greek. Though that noun was not used anywhere in the scripture. But we can investigate that noun so that we can use the noun to know. Like for example, it's called a conjugate noun. For example, you have a conjugate, the word gave is a verb, right? It has a conjugate noun, grace. So to know what was given or how what was given, you have to look at the word grace, charis. For God so loved the word that he gave, charis. Now to not know how God gave, now look at the word charis for grace, right? Which means freely given. So that means how God gave is free. Hope you're following me. So that's how you use conjugate noun. Now the conjugate noun for prorizo was not used in scriptures at all. But we can investigate their language to know the use of the word of the conjugate noun. The conjugate noun there is the word prorismos. Prorismos. P-R-O-R-I-S-M-O-S. It will help us explain the verb. Hallelujah. For example, let's look at some words. Let me give an example here. I want my child to read law, for example. Or if a man wants his child to read law. Law is far. Far from my dreams for her. Anyway. So, for example, a father anticipates or wants his child to become, I have in my notes, software engineer, but let's use law. To become a lawyer.
Right? And to achieve this, the father puts her into or him into school, right? Make sure he goes to the best university, read law, make sure that she or put everything in place for her to go to school, right? Maybe even now force her or him to go and read law, Nigerian parents, and go to law school. But you know, that is it. But the father cannot now determine if the child will end up as a lawyer, because the child can be done after forcing him or her to law school and then decide not to practice as a lawyer and go into business. Hallelujah. In fact, I know somebody that the father has sent to school to go and read his law. When he got to the school, he changed the course. Went to school, send him, go and read law. Traveled out, go and read law. Everything was done. Primary school, we postponed him to law things. I went abroad and studied music. Amen. I know somebody that they were training to be an architect in Nigeria. Person left after secondary school. Person was good in technical, they were calling architect. Ah, in the village, they were architect. So money now came. Traveled out of the country to go and study. Everybody thinking he's going to go and study architecture. He came back and what he studied in school was fishery. Amen. So looking at this example, the end of the child, or let's see this, proviso, what will be proviso? Proviso there will be what you wanted the child to read, right? Right? Remember we say pro, yeah? Remember, now, what you wanted the child to read, like an engineer, a this and that, and everything you put in place for the child to achieve that. Okay, follow me. Everything you put in place, send the child to school, did this, paid for visa, but prorismos, which is the conjugate now, will be what the child ended up with, which is what? Hallelujah. I mean, sorry. Prorismos, before I miss it. No, prorismos will be that the child did not end up making it happen. Right? That was prorismos. The child did not, because what they wanted was this. Right? The prorismos was that it didn't happen. Hallelujah. So that means predestination has to do with a pre-plan. Now, when I'm planning for you, to become, okay, I remember, imagine I wanted to be the next governor of Nigeria under WCIWWWF party. WCIWWWF party. That's the meaning, I just guessed. It's not inspirational, it's just from the head. Now, I now started doing things for you, right? I bought you the form. I took you to go and learn under somebody that is good as a politician. Now, doing everything for you. Help you to print a flyer. We do everything at the end. 2 weeks to election. You now say, sir, I don't want to be a politician again. Now say, my slot, I give it to this person. All my voters, vote for this person. What will you call that? I have pre-planned, right? In my pre-plan, I had everything in store. Glory to God. But you know what? I couldn't predetermine that end. The prorismos is that it didn't end up. What we are following, it didn't happen the way I planned it. That means God can have a plan and it will not work. I said, MSC! Okay. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. That is pre-plan. Whosoever believe, that is pre-plan. Should not, but have everlasting. That is pre-plan. Is everybody that believe? Though the one that perish, did it happen? So God can have a pre-plan and it will not happen. So for the life of the ones that didn't get born again and they died, did it happen? It didn't happen. But God's word is for all men, you see. Is it all men? Is it every man that you see? So God can have a plan that will not happen.
Hope you are following me.
Amen. Amen. Have there not been people that the Lord, you heard the word of the Lord say, this is it. Just moving. Just moving. Moving. Everything is set. Everything. And when it was time for you to move in, something took your mind away. Say, I'm coming. Let me just, when you came by, it's finished. Amen. It's a plan. But God cannot predetermine that. God's pre-plan was for man to subdue the earth. Right? Right? God's pre-plan. Okay, let me go back to Genesis. Let's history. God's pre-plan was for man to eat of every tree that is in the garden, except for this. Right? Right? It's unbelief. Right? So God's plan was everybody to be saved. Eat. But what happened? Did God predetermine the end of Adam and Eve? No! But he had a plan. Eat of the tree of the good. Eat of the tree of life. But the ate of the tree of what? So that is three plans. But God didn't predetermine the end.
Hope you are following.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Did God know how every man that is born is going to die? That is not inspired by God. Hallelujah. He might be inspired by an angel, but not God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's look at that word predestined. How is this the scriptures as we go for today? We'll continue next week. We've not even started our teaching. Yes, we're coming there slowly. Hallelujah. But did you learn something?
Yes,
sir. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 28. That's what it is. Now, look at what you need to look at this now. As for when they flogged them, they prayed. Now look at what they said in their prayer. Look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, one of the hidden range and the people imagined vain things. Say the kings of the earth stood and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against this Christ, for a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. But Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel predetermined before to be done. Did you see that? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel predetermined. That is to say, what was God's pre-plan? That's what pre-plan to be done. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hope you are following me.
Aha.
Look at Romans 8. Where we were. That is what pre-plan. Romans 8. Look at four verses. That's 29 where we were. It says, for we know, 29. For whom the Lord, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestine, right? He also did, so he foreknew, right? Right? For no to mark out, right? He also did plan, so, right? He planned to be conformed to the image of his son. Is that a plan? Come on. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. You see that? And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, whom he predestinated, he called. So that is the pre-plan would happen by a call. So what is the call? That's the word kaleo in the preaching of the gospel. So the man that now received the preaching of the gospel is the one justified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the one that is justified will now look back and say, he called me because he has predestined me. Hope you are following you. Hope you are following that. So it's a pre-plan and it will happen by the call. Kaleo. And when a man now believes, that word kaleo is used for the gospel. Hallelujah. Through the preaching of the gospel, you are called. You believe you are justified.
Hallelujah. Another one again will be Ephesians 1.
Ephesians 1. Hope you are learning something.
Ephesians 1. Look at 1 verse 5. He says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the
another assignment. And the assignment will be all the scriptures are reading. The time when you are a woman, there is a time you have to listen to this message. And the assignment will be from the pastor, take note of it. Every scripture I'm reading now, from Acts 4 to Romans to Ephesians, okay, I will use Ephesians as an example.
Predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Hallelujah. So he uses that word predestined twice. Yeah. First of all, in verse 5, he says, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So it's a pre-plan, right? Prorizo, right? Right? So let's see what he put in place in the plan. Predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Is that prorizo? Is that prorizo? Emphatically, yes. Right? Prorizo. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, for his own. Right? Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That is for his most. That is the end product, right? In whom we have redemption, for his most. Did you see that? Conjugate. Right? This is the end. Right? How do we do this? Because we have believed. So therefore, we cannot say in whom we have redemption. Did you see that? Right? In whom we have redemption? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Now verse 9. Now verse 8 too is Christmas. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, to resolve. Did you see that? A pre-plan. Glory to God. So, when a man now believes, he is now redeemed. In whom we have redemption. You can say that because why? That is the end product. Right? Well, because you have followed his pre-plan. Hallelujah. So he has predestined us, he has pre-planned. That pre-plan is for everyone. The whole world. But the man that now follow him to be saved will now be called, he's called and justified. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So that means, can God's pre-plan fail? He can fail. Because God does not hypnotize men. That's what it means. So that means I will have to use Bible word Bible way. Our teaching spiritual growth. Look at what we are doing. Easy thinking. We'll get to see the reasons for this. Hallelujah. We have to use Bible word Bible way, just like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Jesus used Bible words Bible way. And as a disciple of Jesus, we have to use Bible word Bible way. Therefore, as we get into our teaching on the local church from next week. Hallelujah. Because it is in the local church that we are taught how to use words. Scriptural way. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord.